est sur location.
De quoi le sortir?
Location. Location.
Welcome to Echolocation, the show that eavesdrops on Mother Nature. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lo Judas, and if you've ever listened to this show before, I'd hazard to guess that you've heard the sound of ocean waves. I've featured creatures that live in, near, and under the water, and even played sound art from rivers and water bodies. But never before have I devoted an entire show to water, that ubiquitous, overlooked substance that we take for granted but depend on for our very existence. So this evening, we'll be featuring water musings, water music, and sound art made from waterways right here in the Hudson Valley. We'll play a piece focused on the Catskill Creek watershed created by artist Sto Len during a 2021 Wave Farm residency. And if you like what you hear on this show, I encourage you to join me in being a sustaining member of WGXC. In some ways, this station is like water, ubiquitous, sometimes overlooked, but something we dare not take for granted. That was the song Water by Blonde Redhead. On tonight's broadcast of Echolocation, we're featuring sounds and music related to water, inspired by water, and made from water. Water is so mundane. It runs through our households, feeding us and washing our bodies, our dishes and clothes. Flushing away our waste so we don't have to think about it. And from water faucet to water pipe to water hose to water fountain, its trickle is the soundtrack to our lives. Mundane, essential, sublime.
Thank you.
You're listening to Echolocation on WGXC and wavefarm.org. That was the song Fetch the Water by Minute Flag, which was a collaboration between the punk rock giant bands Minutemen and Black Flag back in the mid-1980s. Our bodies, our households, our food, our landscape, our energy and transportation systems, our ecology, our planet, all depend on water. That single substance that takes many forms. But although we all need it for our very survival, it's not readily available to all. Geography, privilege, and economy dictate access. Some have none, and some have excess. Water is the major commodity of the 21st century. Consumption is the priority. Industry, commerce, and domesticity take precedence over essence and wilderness and justice.
Looking cockeyed, used to be free, now of course you a fee, cause it's all about getting that cash. Money, said it's all about getting that cash. Money, said it's all about getting that cash. everything around me. Move.
That was the song New World Water by artist Mos Def off his 1999 release, Black on Both Sides. And we're going to shift into a section of today's show that features the work of one of the Wave Farm 2021 residency artists, Stowe Lynn. Stowe Lynn is a printmaker, sound artist, and part of New York City's Works on Water Collective. And water is his muse, be it a babbling brook, polluted water at an EPA Superfund site, or sewage at a wastewater treatment plant. Stowe Lynn's 2021 Wave Farm residency focused on the waterways and water bodies in the Catskill Creek watershed. And we're going to listen now to an excerpt of Tom Rowe's interview with Stowe from the June 29th broadcast of the Saturday afternoon show. And I've just got to say here that it's so amazing to have such informed and insightful programming on the airwaves here in the Upper Hudson Valley. And I'm so grateful for WJXC that I'm a sustaining member and I give a monthly donation to support the station and an ongoing contribution. And I encourage everybody who's listening to become a sustaining member. It's an easy and meaningful way to support Creative Community Radio. And you decide on the amount you want to give monthly, and it's easy to sign up at wavefarm.org. So take a listen to this interview excerpt, and I hope you agree with me that it's worth supporting the station to keep this kind of conversation on our airwaves.
Yes, if you just tuned in, we're speaking with the artist Stowe Lynn, and we're speaking about local water so far, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's. I came here to check that out.
How did you get interested in water as an art form?
Well, I guess it's been a while now. It's been like probably the better part of a decade. But I, you know, I'm a printmaker, and I started using water in my prints. There's a Japanese technique called suminagashi, which is it's a technique that dates back to the 12th century, but basically, you paint, you make a floating painting with sumi ink. The ink actually naturally floats. And you paint on water, and you can make a print from the surface of the water. So, you know, I discovered that and just kind of fell in love with the idea of kind of like a collaboration with water.
Because you can't control it exactly, is my guess, right?
No, you can't control it. And that's like a good sort of lesson, like, in life anyways, with water and nature in general, you can't really control it. So you have to let go of that.
There's not much you can actually control if you really think about it.
No. And if you're okay with that, you know, like there's, I think a lot of people have problems when they want to control everything. And
well, and certainly other people have problems when other people want to control everything.
This is true. I mean, I have that problem too. But, or when people want to control me. But yeah, you know, I think, it, you know, when you're making art and stuff and you want to like have this happen, you know, and just the way you want it, which is cool. But I got into this place where I wanted to let go of that, sort of self-destruct the control aspect a bit, and open it up, you know? So from that, I mean, I kind of, it sent me on a trajectory of working in the studio with like inflatable swimming pools full of water, making my own paint and ink. And, you know, over time I just started getting a little bit more experimental with it and putting all kinds of crap in the water, debris, you know, things from the street, whatever I could get to sort of float to help make the prints. And, you know, eventually that led me to go out to actual bodies of water out in the world. And, you know, that was a big deal for me because all of a sudden I didn't need to be in a studio. I could just be outdoors and kind of reclaim the public commons as a studio.
Well, you used several terms there, reclaim and crap in the water. This is all leading me to the question is, this isn't your first rodeo at artist residency. You've done an artist residency at a wastewater treatment plant.
This is true. I was the first artist to do one at Alex Renew, which is a wastewater treatment plant in Alexandria, Virginia. And yeah, that was amazing. When I first got it, a lot of people were asking me, you know, why? Why would you want to do that? Or why would they want you to do that? And I think it made a lot of sense to me. And I think after I did it, it started to make sense to other people too. But essentially, you know, I got to have a backstage pass to the, you know, reclaiming of water, the whole process that everyone does, you know, completely essential, obviously. And I had been spending so much time with dirty water, it was really cool to see the process of cleaning water. And so, you know, I documented that. And I think kind of something that's always, you know, a part of what I do is certainly giving visibility to stuff that is completely overlooked. So super dirty waterways or Superfund sites or wastewater, you know, people don't really want to think about that.
That's what I was going to say. It's not just that it's just invisible, but it's people are like willfully, I'm not going to think about how this water that was in this one state is now in this other state.
Yes. Like actively trying to ignore it. Right. When I don't think that that's really healthy, because, you know, obviously we need to have a relationship with, you know, the environment to start caring about it. And we certainly need to have a relationship with our waste and consumption and just being aware of that stuff. So, you know, it kind of became my job to make, you know, out of the box ways of showing that and sort of even showing the beauty in that. Which I sort of, I always loved that challenge.
Like science sort of did that with the pandemic. The wastewater plant became this place where you measured how much COVID was in the general population.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. You could tell if it was there, it was coming, you know, you can tell a lot, right?
I guess there's other things. That's the first time I was confronted with this issue of wastewater. It's like I said, I've been actively trying not to think about it.
Yeah.
And then COVID, like, oh.
Yes.
So what else can they measure in there, you know? And
yeah, you can tell what drugs people are taking, you know. All the pharmaceuticals wind up in there.
We could have gotten this oxycodone problem nipped in the bud sooner if we would have been paying attention to our wastewater.
Yeah. We would have known. We would have known that was coming.
We would have known how many prescriptions local doctors were. I think it was like they did a story a couple of years ago about I think it was mainly like two pharmacies in Greene County, in this local county, and they gave out enough prescriptions for everybody in the county to have like several pills themselves, you know, like it was just an enormous amount of prescriptions.
Pills for everybody.
And so we can't track that until years later, but maybe we could have tracked it with the wastewater at the time.
Yeah, you'd get a good barometer of what people were putting in their bodies, you know. And just like you can with bodies of water out there too, you know, I mean, lakes can have gonorrhea, you know, lakes can have caffeine.
The Hudson River has herpes now? Is that... No, that's not true.
Oh, I mean, we could start that rumor right now. I should get tested. I have some samples. Maybe I'll get my samples tested.
What did they sound like? Did they sound diseased? Your samples?
I could hear the herpes amongst the debris. Well, you know, that's interesting, right? Because... So for the longest time, I've been doing the visuals of water. And so it was only a matter of time before I got into the sonics. And, you know, when I – this residency here at Wave Farm, it was really the first time I could go fully on and investigate the sound of water. And, you know, like you can't – I mean, what's interesting is you don't hear the dirty necessarily.
Does it come across as it silences? I mean, because it kills things, so it's kind of there in the lack of noise.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in a kind of an eerie way. There was a not too far from here. There's another unnamed pond, but completely covered in algae. You know, like really, really green. And yeah, I threw some mics in there and it was just eerily quiet, you know, very peaceful.
Because the algae had just blocked out the sun and nothing
blocked
was
out, yeah.
Active underneath.
Yeah, there wasn't as much happening, you know, whereas your pond here, there's a lot happening. It is active.
Yeah, you can bring it up so people can hear.
Oh, yeah,
hear what
yeah. Let's see.
It's mixed in with the Weather Warlock and...
Yeah. I love these both of these pieces. They're totally inspiring.
But the more space-sounding, futuristic noises are the underneath the pond.
Yeah, which is, it's a whole other world down there. And, you know, I mean, what I learned was that, yeah, you might not be able to tell how... You know, I guess like what's in the water per se, but sound is, it's transferred from, you know, the environment through the water so well that you could really hear all the noise pollution. That was almost inescapable here.
And that's because the water molecules bump up against each other and transfer sound, whereas air molecules are a little more spread out and don't transfer sound quite as well.
Yeah, totally. And so that's, you know, I mean, like these sounds, right? Like,
what was that?
Well, I don't know. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But it's probably not even that close to the mic. You know,
But it sounded like some kind of giant underwater cricket.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's something that like I don't know what's making the sound, so I'm so intrigued.
Again, there's another one that like what was that?
What was that?
Sounded like a Coke bottle rolling down an incline.
It could be. Yeah, I was totally interested in going to as many different bodies of water as I could in Greene County as a way to listen to them all, but also as a way to record them and kind of put them together in a kind of chorus, you know?
And I think everywhere you went is kind of interconnected. And
yes.
They're all connected to the Catskill Creek.
Yes.
Which runs into the Hudson River, and you went to some of those places, right?
I did, yeah. I'm pretty much starting from here. You know, I started with these water, these ponds, and then went to the Bowery Creek and Thorpe Creek, Shingle Kill, Tatterstill, where else? Dubois Creek? Have you been to that one?
I don't know that one, no.
That's in... I'm forgetting the name. There's like a sort of a wetland preserve there right basically at the end of the Catskill Creek. Yeah. That's an amazing place. But yeah, there's a little creek in there. That one, there were no people there. That was like... the most nature sounds I was able to get. But everywhere else, as you know, you'll hear there's a lot of boats, which sound totally insane underwater. And then a lot of traffic, like cars.
So you think the animals underwater, when they hear boats, they're kind of like under attack. It's like making a noise that's not pleasant.
It is insane. Yeah, it's crazy loud. I was listening with my headphones and, you know, I'd be like, ah... it's really loud. Also, I mean, I love kind of loud drones and stuff. So for me, it was like, oh, I do really like these sounds. But I can imagine.
From the point of view of a turtle.
Wow. Yeah, that's alarming. That's really intense. I don't think it's comforting. Maybe they've gotten used to it, though. I mean, I'm sure it's pretty normal now.
I think I read some studies about... how birds in general stay like 100 feet away from major highways, and they thought it was mainly because of the sound, but there certainly could be other reasons. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can isolate that sort of.
There's no way that it can't play a part, though, because we are very loud. Humans are crazy loud. And that's, it's like another imprint. You know, I've been doing all this work about the human imprint, visually and, you know, chemically and now sonically. That was really interesting here.
When you were visiting, so you visited these local sites, what human imprint did you see at these local waterways?
Well, I mean, a lot of them were quite nice, you know, but certainly, I mean, there's always the run-of-the-mill stuff that you find on the coastlines, like, yeah, your bottles, water bottles, styrofoam, you know, that kind of thing. Compared to New York City, you know, where I live, it's certainly way cleaner here. But, you know, you still see that kind of stuff. And then...
So, like, evidence of humans just, like, finding the waterfront a place to hang out.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that's, I mean, that's another interesting thing. I mean, we are just drawn to water. Sure, it's beautiful, but I think the sound is a huge part of that draw.
Well, and the same with animals. Like, the deer go to drink, and lots of animals probably go to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and that's what we used to do, really, you know. But I think because we're not going there to eat or, you know, necessarily drink, it's a little bit less on the people's radar, you know, in modern times. I was psyched to spend a whole lot of time there, you know, really kind of just listening. I mean, I think I was telling you earlier, my idea was really to jam with the water. So, you know, I did do some of that, which was super fun, but I had all this gear that I was trying to take with me to some of these places that you really have to hike to get to. And earlier in the week, I had brought all this crap, you know, and I was an amp, you know, I had lots of effect pedals and instruments to jam with the water. And I get there, I set everything up, and then it just starts raining, like, super hard. And
you had running water and you had still water, but then you all of a sudden had falling water.
Right, which was hilarious. I mean, I certainly enjoyed the irony of all that. And then, so I packed all my crap up, but, you know, I had a little umbrella and I was able to still sit there and just listen and record. And, you know, that was a good lesson. It was like, dude, just listen. There's so many sounds going on here. You don't necessarily need to add to that yet. You know, you need to, like, just sit and listen. So that's kind of what I did for most of the week. You know, there were times that I brought some stuff to add, but for the most part, I really just listened to the sort of spectacular, you know, mundane sounds.
You're listening to Echolocation on WGXC 90.7 FM. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lo Judas, and we just listened to an excerpt of a June 29th interview with 2021 Wave Farm residency artist Stowe Lynn. If you want to hear more of that interview, you can find it in the archives at wavefarm.org. Now we're going to listen to an excerpt of Stowe's work that he made at Wave Farm called Live Streaming. And Stowe writes this about the piece. Live streaming features a chorus of the watershed in the Greene County area of New York State. The singers include Catskill Creek, Du Bois Creek, Thorpe Creek, Bowery Creek, Shinglekill, Catterskill Creek, the Hudson River, and a few unnamed ponds, as well as rain, insects, birds, and frogs. Instrumentation includes hydrophones, contact mics, cassette recorder, radio, electromagnetic antenna, iPhone, Geiger counter, a metal chair, divining rods, an ice cream truck, a boat, oars, cars, drainage pipe, the wind, some dogs, rocks, and a few of John Cage's old rain sticks. You're listening to Echolocation on WGXC, and we just heard a piece by artist Sto Len called Live Streaming, which features a chorus of water that includes the Catskill Creek, Du Bois Creek, Thorpe Creek, Bowery Creek, Shinglekill, Catterskill Creek, the Hudson River, and a few unnamed ponds. Nothing speaks to our souls the way water does. Its sounds soothe us, rejuvenate us. Make us mindful in meditation, promote deep relaxation, foster spiritual illumination. It seems there's no denying that water is an expression of the divine. Water is the mother of us all. And without its circulation, extinction is certain.
Thank you.
That was the Aretha Franklin's version of Bridge Over Troubled Water. This year, even as we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of the founding of WGXC, we remember 2021 as the 10th anniversary of a major flood event in the Northeast caused by tropical storms Irene and Lee. August 28th, 2011 brought destruction wrought by water of a magnitude I'd never seen before and hope to never see again. But truth be told, that deluge ushered in a decade of disasters here and nearby, from Superstorm Sandy to Hurricane Ida, and our hearts are with everyone still recovering from the wrath of water. Thanks for listening to this edition of Echolocation. For a list of references, visit our page echolocation/WGXC on Facebook. I'm Elizabeth Lo Judas, and we're going to close out this hour with a couple tracks from Laurie Anderson's album Landfall, whose songs memorialize the devastating impact of 2012's Hurricane Sandy on New York City and on Anderson's home. And so we'll hear Laurie Anderson and the Kronos Quartet performing the pieces Everything is Floating and Old Motors and Helicopters.
And after the storm, I went down to the basement, and everything was floating. Lots of my old keyboards, 30 projectors, props from old performances, a fiberglass plane, a motorcycle, countless papers and books. And I looked at them floating there in the shiny dark water, dissolving. All the things I'd carefully saved all my life, becoming nothing but junk. And I thought, how beautiful. How magic. And how catastrophic.